Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. Whether this is your first time or your seventh time or your 7 times 77th time in this space, I hope you feel the warmth of welcome no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter who you love. This place is a sacred place for you to encounter the living God. Tonight, we have a Tizay worship service in this space at 5 p.m. If you are unfamiliar with the practice of Tizay, it is contemplative, it is repetitive in the best way, and it is music-filled and spirit-filled. So if that would speak to your soul, I hope you'll join us back in this space tonight at 5 p.m. December 1st, I can't believe we're talking about December already, but December 1st is the first Sunday of Advent. Our Advent theme this year is called Messages of Hope. We hope that you'll be able to join us for all of that series. And if you would like to spread some hope or joy to our college students, they are collecting gift cards for college care packages. Details about that are in the bulletin. We have chat and chew today for our local college students. That will happen at noon. We invite you to meet us in the narthex immediately following this service, and we will walk to lunch together. December 1st is also an important deadline for our 2025 Guatemala trip. If you had thought maybe I might want to go to Guatemala, if you have any questions, let me know. You have to decide and sign up by December 1st to go on that trip. Lastly, we lost a beloved member of our staff this week. Julie Catterton, who is the assistant to Pastor Carol and the rest of the pastors on staff, passed away on Wednesday. Tomorrow is her memorial service. It is at her home church, Brentwood United Methodist Church. And so we wanted to make sure that all of the staff could go. So our church offices are going to be closed from 11:30 to 3:30 tomorrow. Now, the preschool will still be open. Quiet Place will still be running. The church staff will be away at Julie's funeral tomorrow, those who would like to go. So once again, the church office will be closed tomorrow from 11:30 to 3:30 so that we could go and honor Julie. Today, we dive into Hannah's story. It is one of grief, hope, prayer, and longing. May we open our hearts to feel with her today as we prepare to worship the God who loves us always.
Oh, Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. We lift our eyes up to the hills. Where does our help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will be with us in our coming and in our going.
On this day, in this hour, and forevermore.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God.
God of the forgotten and brokenhearted, thank you for your presence with us in our sorrow and pain. Thank you for remembering the deepest desires of our hearts and for being with us amid our confusion when they don't work out. Help us to be a people who recognize sadness in one another and are swift to lessen the burden. Forgive us when we harden our hearts to each other and to you. Work in us to be agents of peace, healing, hope, and joy through Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the
name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Campbell Elliott McComb up to the font with us.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Allie Harper and Adam McCone bring their son before God and the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Allie and Adam, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Yeah. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. Allie and Adam, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And now the next question is for the congregation, so listen up, y'all. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in a way that leads to life. And now join me in prayer. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land in which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin, to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, reigns forever. Amen. You want to play with the water?
Campbell Elliott.
Campbell Elliott, do you want to come with me? You want to play with the water? He's like, no, I just want to play with the water. Campbell Elliott, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, of Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who sustains us all. Amen. I know, it's water on your head. You weren't expecting that. Okay, we are going to all put a hand on you and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to play with the water? It done him wrong. Yeah. Campbell Elliott, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, do you want to walk with me? You want to go walk? I think we're going to have to all walk together, and that is perfectly fine. We want you all to get a better look at our new brother in Christ. This is Campbell Elliott. Oh, he's going to run. He wants you all to see him. Some of you are going to be asked to take care of him. Some of y'all are going to be his Sunday school teachers. Some of you may be his confirmation mentor later on. You may be a youth volunteer. You may be asked to accompany him on a trip. Whatever it is, I hope that y'all remember this moment and these promises that you have made to care for this child. Let's listen, Campbell Elliott, as the congregation stands and makes their pledge to you.
Will the congregation rise in body or in spirit and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Campbell Elliott? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Campbell Elliott into your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Campbell Elliott, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel, Chapter 1, verses 4 through 20. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 213 in your pew Bible or page 118 in the story Bible on the end of your pew. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any children in the congregation to come up front and join me. I am getting over a cold, which is why I sound like this and why Pastor Stacy was so kind to do the announcements for me earlier. But we're going to get through it. All right, friends. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever been sad. Have you ever been sad? Out there in the congregation, raise your hand if you've ever been sad. Yeah, I think that's pretty much everybody. In today's story, Hannah was really, really sad. She was being bullied. She really, really wanted a baby, but she didn't have one. And you know what? I think both those things would make me sad too. What's something that you do when you feel sad? What do you do when you feel sad? Sometimes we cry, yeah. What else do we do? Sometimes we're mad, too. Sometimes being sad makes us mad, yeah. Sometimes we listen to music. We might talk to somebody about why we're feeling sad. Yeah, when we have a boo-boo or an ouchie, hurt ourselves, that makes us sad and that makes us cry. Yep. Sometimes we can talk to somebody. We could pray. We can talk to God when we're sad. Who likes a hug when they're sad? Anybody like a hug when you're feeling sad? Yep, we can go ask for a hug. Yep. So there are lots of things that we can do when we feel sad. And we can do those things and try to remember that God is with us. And that we are not alone. We are loved even when we're sad. So will you pray with me? And I want you to repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for being with me.
Thank you for being with me.
When I am sad. Help me come to you.
Help me come to you.
And to the people who love me.
Help me to trust you.
With all my hopes,
and all my feelings.
Amen. All right. Thanks for hanging out with me. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go follow Pastor Will and Hampton to Children's Church. And if you're older than that or younger than that, you can go sit with your families or friends. As I mentioned, getting over a cold. Been trying to save my voice for this part, but please bear with me. We're at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, but before we dive into Samuel's story and before we hear the next chapter for the Israelites, we first have this story of Hannah. And I want to offer a brief word of warning. Hannah's story is one of infertility and childlessness, which can be a difficult subject for those who have lived or are living those journeys. So if that's you, please know that you are loved and you are seen. And if this topic is too painful today, please feel free to do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. So, as a reminder, it's not often that we have stories of named women in the Bible, which makes each one significant. Hannah's story is one of grief, of longing, of bullying, of suffering. You see, Hannah longs for a child, a son. She's the wife of Elkanah, and Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, has many sons and daughters. She has fulfilled her role in the family, and she's rather smug about it. She repeatedly insults and puts down Hannah for her inability to have children. Hannah's bullied in her own household. But you see, Elkanah loves Hannah. And so perhaps Peninnah is jealous of that love, while Hannah is perhaps jealous of Peninnah's children. It's not exactly a peaceful household. Hannah lives with this longing, with this grief, over her body's failure to carry a child, with this suffering from her rival. These feelings may be familiar to you. I know they are to me. I've experienced bullying. I've experienced longing. I've experienced grief. And Hannah's grief at this point is also kind of hard to name because she hasn't lost a child, or at least the text doesn't give us that detail. She isn't grieving the death of a parent or a spouse. Her grief is tied up in her longing and her hope. This kind of grief that doesn't seem to have an obvious cause is sometimes called disenfranchised grief. Disenfranchised grief refers to a loss that's not openly acknowledged, socially mourned, or publicly supported. It's very real, but unconventional. It's not a new term, but we began to talk more about disenfranchised grief during the pandemic with the loss of certain rituals and milestones, trips and everyday experiences and more. People deal with grief in a whole host of circumstances that are not the death of a loved one. We grieve for lost jobs, broken friendships, for unmet expectations for our future, for the house we've always dreamed of buying, the trip we always wanted to take, the cancellation of our favorite TV show, or losing our favorite toy. Hannah grieves for the child she doesn't have and desperately wants. She grieves for her situation where she is bullied and shamed by Peninnah and her community because she seems unable to have a child. She is overlooked and marginalized for failing to fulfill her primary role as a woman. And yet this story will end with Hannah getting exactly what she prays and longs for. She gives birth to a son. However, Hannah's value doesn't change because the end of her story changes. Hannah has value right now simply for being. Society was wrong. Society is wrong when it tells women that they are valuable only for their roles as mothers. We are all beloved children of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 says. We are important to God just as we are. Hannah is important just as she is. I saw a quote recently that said, "Someone's inability to see my worth does not diminish my inherent value." Peninnah can't see Hannah's worth, but God does, and we can. We can name Hannah's belovedness, and we can name our own belovedness too. The family goes to the temple at Shiloh to offer sacrifices, worship God, and have a feast, but Hannah is too brokenhearted to eat. She goes back to the temple and begins to pray. She weeps as she asks God for a son and promises to give him back to God as a Nazirite if only God would do this for her. She prays silently, but her lips are moving as tears run down her face and she pours out her soul. The priest, Eli, misunderstands what's happening and he accuses her of being drunk and rebukes her. And this is just one more insult and a long line of insults that she can no longer bear. So Hannah stands up for herself. She tells Eli off a little bit, and she tells him the truth. He listens, though, and he offers her a blessing and sends her on her way. She goes home. She gets pregnant, gives birth to a son she named Samuel. Hannah's prayers are answered. But what about those of us who are still in that place of grief or longing? What about those people who pray and pray and pray, and the answer is no? Does God love Hannah more? Was her prayer somehow better? No. God loves each and every person unconditionally, and God is always with us. God was with Hannah in her grief. God weeps with us when our hearts break. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." We are not alone. There are so many people who have sat or are sitting in places of grief and hope and longing and expectation and uncertainty. I think of the Israelites enslaved in Egypt and suffering, crying out, "How long, O Lord?" I think of refugees around the world, sitting in camps wondering, waiting, hoping for a new place to call home. I think of people waiting for the phone call or message from their doctor with their test results. I think of people facing daily violence or war, wishing, hoping, praying for their loved ones to come home at night, for the fighting to stop, for peace and safety. I think of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s mountaintop speech, given just one day before he'd be assassinated. He talked about the long and difficult days ahead in the struggle for racial and economic justice. He prophetically spoke about how he might not get to see the land of freedom and equality and justice he hoped for. But he had been to the mountaintop. God had shown him the promised land, that which he longed and worked for. But King acknowledged that it probably wouldn't be achieved in his lifetime. Sometimes, many times, we don't get the longings of our heart. So what do we do then? Do we stop praying? Do we stop hoping? No. We have to learn to live in the in-between or in the next chapter. We have to figure out how to stay grounded in our faith and in God's love and presence. Ta-Nehisi Coates writes, "I did not tell you that it would be okay because I have never believed it would be okay. What I told you is what your grandparents tried to tell me, that this is your country, that this is your world, that this is your body, and you must find some way to live within the all of it." So what do we do? Well, there are lots of ways to do this work, to learn to live with the beautiful and the terrible in this world. What works for me may not work for you, and vice versa, but I hope to offer a few practices that might help. Feel your feelings. Cry, yell, scream, sigh, write, paint, draw, listen to music, dance. Do whatever it is you need to do to safely express your emotions. Talk about it. Talk to God through prayer as Hannah did. Talk with a therapist or other professional. Talk with your family. Talk with your friends. Talk about it in community or in a support group. Whatever it is you need to do to talk and process, do something. Our physical bodies need release too. Breathing exercises or yoga, other ways to move our body through running or exercise can ground us and bring us clarity and release. Find ways to serve others or advocate for causes you believe in. These things connect us with others, and they can help us find people who share our feelings and our convictions, and they can bring change to our world. Above all, trust in God's love and presence. Trust that God is with us when we are hurting and hoping and longing. God is near to the brokenhearted. I wish that I had a magic formula to make the longings of our hearts come true. I wish that I could say that it will all be okay. In truth, sometimes it's not. But I have faith that we are not alone because we have this community of faith and because God promises to be with us. So to those in the congregation who, like Hannah, may be longing to be parents, you are seen, you are loved. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are enough. To those in the congregation who may be longing for healing, to those longing for a particular job or event to come, to those longing for transformation or change, to those longing for hope, to those longing for community, connection, belonging, whatever your longings may be, you are seen, you are loved, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are enough. Our affirmation of faith that we say every week reminds us that we put our trust in a God who loves us and is with us, and therefore we are not ever alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
With surety of those promises that we say in the affirmation of faith, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and claim those with your voice this morning. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live in respect with creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I really needed to say those words this morning. I hope that you felt that. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them out loud or hold them in our heart. If you would like to share your prayers with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed. We ask that you would please take note of the prayer requests listed in the bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart as you pray throughout the week. A Rose on the Table celebrates the birth of Alfred Greenlee Wiegand to Jane and Martin Wiegand on November the 8th. Fred is also welcomed by his siblings, Francie, Tripp, and Nell. We turn to grief as we mourn the death of Elizabeth York Gerlach. Her memorial service will be held on November 22nd at 1 p.m. at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. Visitation will precede the service starting at 10:30. Our friend, our beloved co-worker, that has worked here for many years, Julie Catterton, passed away on Wednesday, November 13th. She was a member at Brentwood United Methodist, and that is where her funeral will be, at Brentwood United Methodist, on tomorrow, which is Monday, November 18th, in the chapel at 1 p.m. Visitation will be before the service, starting at 11 a.m. And just a reminder for those of you that missed the announcements, the church office will actually be closed tomorrow from 11:30 to 3:30 to allow those of us on the staff to go down and be with her family as we grieve Julie. Quiet Place will still happen tomorrow. The preschool will still happen tomorrow, but there will be no church staff on site from 11:30 to 3:30. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, sometimes we pray the same way that Hannah prayed, with lips moving, no sound coming out, tears streaming our face, our hearts weary with grief, our souls plagued with longing. How long before the dreams we had of what our lives would look like be fulfilled? How long will we have to wait for you to do right by us, God? What if it never happens? God, we see the war in other lands and we grieve the egregious loss of life. We pray for an end to war. We hear of the suffering of our siblings who are sick in either body or in mind. We hear the wails of the grieving when loved ones die. We pray for your healing, and when healing is not to be, for your comfort and your presence. God, we can feel the fear of those who are afraid of unjust and unmerciful policies against their bodies, their marriages, their immigration status. We pray for a just and merciful future where no one's lives are the victims of policies. We taste the bitterness of our own longings yet to be fulfilled, longings for family, for happiness when we are depressed, for a home of our own, for someone to love us when we feel utterly alone and unlovable, for the one that we love to be well from addiction. We pray even when we have no words to pray, knowing that you have asked for us to always leave these our longings with you. And God, in the next few moments of silence, we give you the deepest longings of our heart in prayer. God, in all of this, we know that you are here. We know that you are with us and as close to us as our next breath. Thank you for loving us and always making yourself accessible to us in prayer, even when our words won't or don't come. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God with gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in your bulletin to give digitally through our website. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, let us give with joy to God.
longings or griefs may be this day, know that you are loved, you are seen, and you are a beloved child of God, always. Amen.